Stop it.
And welcome, everyone, to In Short Order. We hope we're alive. They used to actually introduce us as Blog Talk Radio. This is In Short Order. This is Dr. Sue Bogan, and today we have a very special guest for our holiday radio show, Dr. Serge Tsiroussanis. He has written a marvelous book, and I do mean marvelous. This is a one-of-a-kind. Don't think you'll ever see one like it. It's called Health and Disease Begin in the Colon, and it is true. I've read the book once. I'm going through it again. It is masterfully written. It is absolutely exceptionally edited and exceptionally the pictures in it, of the photographs and the diagrams. You can't find any better anywhere. Welcome, Dr. Serge. How are you in Portugal?
No. It's okay. We are not. Nice weather, and I'm so happy to speak with you, and especially from the people from the state. You know, because I have some very strong feeling for in fact, you know, if we talk about the book and. What you have said in the presentation, in the radio, that I have learned it from the best, you know, like Dr. Jensen. So what I mean is that I start, anyway, with Dr. Jensen when I was living in Los Angeles, and it was in 1962. So probably many people will not know, you know, today, who is Dr. Jensen, but he was really a great man. He was a pioneer, you know, of the 20th century, you see?
Yes.
And it started, you know, like, you know, some coincidence, because I was very young, you know, I was 19 years when I was in Los Angeles, and then I start to feel with some problem. With my health, because of a lot of stress, as you can imagine, you know, I immigrate, you know, by myself. So someone told me, you should go see this doctor, you know, Dr. Jensen. I should have an appointment with him. So I booked the appointment, you know, and then, you know, when I enter in his office, he said, well, you sit, I'm going to look in your, observe your iris. And then he told me what's wrong I have in the iris. And I said, gee, that's fantastic. How the man can see things like that, you know? And then later on, he invited me. He has a very big health trench, you know, near San Diego, where he was treating people, you know, with food, nutrition, you know, healing process and colon therapy. And this is the way I start, you know? And he was also one of the greatest men in iridology. So this is where I learned from him in the beginning. And I said, that will be my life. You know, this is what I'm going to do. And so the colon was something, you know, that I found out over 50 years ago, you know, because Dr. Jensen was really doing detoxification and treating the colon. So when I start, you know, my profession, you know, I really keep concentrate, you know, on the colon. And of course, I was involved with iridology, with natural medicine. Okay. So why the, you know, health and disease begin in the colon? Because if you look in the colon, what I have done, you know, in iridology, and you look the colon, I have done during 50 years. Now you are going to see that most diseases have a connection with the colon. See?
Yes.
So, that's it, you know. So you can see that even after 50 years, you know, people still have trouble with the colon.
Absolutely. So we're going to talk about imagine what?
No. Imagine that, I think I have said in my book that in the state, in U.S., over 70 million people suffer from constipation. See, it's a lot, see. So he didn't change much since I met Dr. Jensen over 50 years ago. People still suffer from many intestinal dysfunction, but mainly constipation. I think it's the largest problem. And so if my in my book, if I'm talking... What?
Uh-huh,
you say,
go ahead.
You say something?
Yes. No.
Book... Now, it's based also in the book on intestinal dysfunction, you know. But constipation is the main thing important for the people to realize, because if we see that many people today doesn't have a bowel movement for 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, even 6 days, and they think it's okay, and the medical doctor does not make any connection, or they say it's okay, you don't have any problem. So when people are coming and they have any disease, you are going to see that the colon is something that you have to look for first, because their problem is there in the colon.
Right.
And
right.
We can say the colon, but also we are talking about the colon, which is one thing you expulse, you know, the dead material. But also we have to talk about the small intestine, you know, where is the microbiote? We call the microbiote, you know, which means where is the friendly bacteria, where is the immune cells, you know, because not many people know that immune cells are more produced in the intestine than in the rest of the body. You see?
Right.
So that's very important. Okay. And so the intestine is making your immune cells, and also the neurotransmission. And it's why we say today that your intestine is your second brain. It's what I have said in my book. Yeah? In fact, this book is I published it in Portugal. The same book, the same title, over 10 years ago, but it was not so complete. You know, it was this one is much more complete. And I was one of the first one, or it was maybe 15 years ago, that make a connection between the intestine and Alzheimer's disease and intestine and Parkinson's disease. You see? And so today, the science is focusing. You know, it said, okay, if you have a Parkinson's, where is the origin, in the brain or in the intestine first, you know? So you see that we have a very important thing to remember about the colon and the disease, you see? And
absolutely.
You cannot always treat a symptom. You have to know to go to the roots of the disease, you see?
Yes.
And then when you are observing, when you do iridology and you observe the iris, then you see exactly where the organs are located. And then you see, in fact, if you look the iris, you look the embryo, you look the genetic, you look your weakness, you know, you look where the disease come from, and then you know how to treat. And this is why I decide to have this book also in English, because I have only in Portuguese. And it has to be wider. It has to be distributed in all the world. So I make a different book. See, I put more information in this book that I have in the original book. You see?
Absolutely.
This
book is actually actually complete. Yes. It is.
Yeah.
Any layman or healthcare professional can pick this book up, and it's not something that somebody will have trouble reading. Even if you're a layman, you will not have trouble understanding this.
Well, I think it's a plain reading. You know, I think I have put there by some knowledge. You know, anybody can write a book. You know, you can write a book, but a book of knowledge, you know, when you have a lot of experience like me, that makes the difference, you see? So my first book, you know, like that in Portugal, it was really only about the colon and iridology. But over the years, you know, things change. So I have to update. And in meanwhile, you know, I became international specialist in integrative oncology. So I am concentrated
right.
a lot with cancer. So I decide to put some information in the book, more information, you know, about cancer, about breast cancer. And in fact, as far as it was 1974 that I make my first connection between the breast cancer and constipation. You see, of course, mm-hmm. we can speak about science, we can speak about the cells, you know, we can speak about the cellular cycle as the cause of cancer, okay? But I am sure, when I see it, you know, that breast cancer has a connection with constipation because we can see in the iris. And
right,
most
exactly.
of the women,
yes.
we can say 90% of the women, they suffer from, with the breast cancer, they suffer from constipation. So
right.
I decided to put one important chapter in the book about breast cancer and the colon and constipation and, of course, colon cancer. Because that go all together. You cannot
mm-hmm.
Speak only about, you know, cellular disease, cancer as a cellular disease. We have to know why we have a cancer. So you have to see the whole body. Also, it's very, very important, you know. And then if you look in the iris, you can see it, you know. Let me give you two examples I have lately, you know, very interesting example that I have this last day. And one, it is a young woman, ND, naturopath from the state, from your country. And she has been diagnosed with cancer. So, breast cancer. And she's shocked. She's shocked. Of course, she's shocked, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But
she is also
iridologist. So I wonder first if she did have any iris observation of herself. But she was on wrong food. You see, and that's why she has
yes.
breast cancer. She could
uh-huh.
see, she could have maybe iris examination. Now, the other one came from Switzerland, and it is a professor of university, and she was diagnosed with cancer, and she said, I am shocked. And I look in the iris, you know, and I told her, your disease, I see the sign of your disease in the iris, the risk, you know, of the sign, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, how can be it? I was always healthy. I am healthy. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So most people believe that they are healthy, but they are not. You know,
right.
healthy doesn't mean that you have a disease yet. But most people
right.
walk in the street with the disease that is sleeping inside of them. You see?
Yes.
And again,
yes.
when you look the iris, in fact, in the book, I have some examples, some very nice examples of illustration of iris, and it shows the people, they have a sign of cancer, because the iris is like you look in the embryo, and you look in how you were made, you know, in the
right.
embryo. So
right.
I say, again, you see your weakness. And you can see the disease, the risk of cancer. I think I have put one example, if I remember, in my book, of a woman that came to me, I say in the book, that 4 years before, she came to me, and I told her that she has a great risk of ovary cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't pay any attention. And then she left. I never see her again. But she came back exactly 4 years after with the diagnosis of ovary cancer under chemotherapy. So you see,
mm-hmm.
that could be avoided. That could be avoided.
Yes.
And, it's,
and yes.
you see in the iris, if I see the the page. I have the book here. I tell you exactly the page. Let me see. I should have the page. I see it. I have it. But there is many example. But this is in the page 209. 209, and there is really ovarian cancer. You can see it. But in the other page, you have seen exactly the same thing. See? So I think that, and then if you see it, the other page, you know, about the iris, you will see always the connection with the colon. You have a case of cancer of the bladder, you will see a connection of the colon. You have a case of lung cancer, you will see the connection with the colon. See? So that's... I have spent, well, I told you, I have spent 50 years, you know, treating patients, and a lot of cancer patients, of course. And I have observed the iris of thousands and thousands and thousands of patients during 50 years. And practically, every patient, they have a problem with the colon, with the nervous system. And then every patient with the disease, they have a connection with the colon. So again, you know, your health, it begins with the good colon. Or the disease, it begins with the bad colon. You see?
Dr. Serge, is that the reason that it begins in the colon, the disease, is it because of the toxins?
Yeah, okay. Now, we are going to talk, you know, about, of course, okay, now we have some physiology in the body. We are made, people doesn't think about, you know, because they have been educated by a medical doctor, by the community, and they are looking only for the symptom, and they will ask any medication to remove the symptom and things like that. But I have fixed them, you know, when they come to my clinic, and I have some figure, on the wall, and I say, look, that's the way it's made the body. You have the colon, you have the liver, you have the lung, you have the skin, you have the kidney. And what is the reason? It's because you have to detoxify. Those organs are here to detoxify. You know, everything is dirty, has to be expulsed from your body. And it's why you have a colon, and it's why you have a liver, and so on. You see, but the people don't know about that. Okay, now... If you have a constipation, then you have a retention of phase. We say in phase in English, retention of phase. Well, you are going to intoxicate first your colon, you know. I remember one of the collaborators of Dr. Jensen. Look at that. It was Eden Valley Health Range. That was 55 years or more ago. So he told the medical doctor, he said, well, okay, tell me, if people doesn't go to the bathrooms, tell me what's going on with the fez. Well, they accumulate.
Yeah.
You see, they accumulate, and then they start, you know, to your colon will start to enter in, to develop some putrefaction, some very bad bacteria. You have a gas, you know, it smells bad, and the toxins start to penetrate in your small, the circulation, you know, the blood circulation, small vessels, the blood vessels, small to penetrate in the body, all right, in the circulation. Then the liver has to stop it. The liver will start to stop and to detoxify. And then you may have a clean blood that go all around your body. But if you suffer from constipation for many years, you know, you have first what you call auto-intoxication in the colon. Auto-intoxication in the colon. And then if your liver, after many years, you know, your liver doesn't detoxify the toxin, you know, and also he has to kill some bacteria, you have a toxic blood that circulates in the body. And you have a bacteria, intestinal bacteria, also that circulate in your blood. And that goes in the tissue. And that poisons your body. And that's the beginning of the disease in the body. Of course, like I told you, you can, you know, for me, I can explain that the disease or like the cancer or disease from a molecular standpoint. But this is not enough. What is the cause of disease? What is the cause of disease? So the cause of disease is the intoxication of the body, or we call toxemia. It's an old word toxemia. And that's what some people suffer, toxemia. You know, if you have a woman that doesn't go to the bathroom, you know, for 5 days, there is a major intoxication in her body.
Absolutely.
And always it connects with the bone, with the skin. You know, it provokes a lot of symptoms. I give some example in my book, you know, from headache to nervousness to pain, and many diseases are connected with the auto-intoxication,
absolutely,
excess of toxin.
Yes. Right.
People doesn't know,
exactly.
You know, just clean up the body, and then you will see how you will feel much better. I think I have some example, you know. I don't have in my book this time, no. I have example in the page 320 of a man with a severe allergy, and we can see it.
Mm-hmm.
After I detoxify the body, you can see the difference, you know, but of course, people have to understand they have to do something, you know. It's not like taking a medication, it's okay, very easy, you know. I give a program in the book. I think I give a program of 1 week of detoxification.
Yes.
And
yes,
it also includes, colema, you know, like enema, colema. So people, they can do at home, you know, like enema, to expulse. Because most people have a retention of face for many years, you know, that stick on the wall of the intestine, of the colon, you know. And people,
right,
they can have several pounds of face accumulate on the wall of the colon. You see, people doesn't know about that, you know. You can have I have seen somewhere that Elvis Presley have 18 pounds when they make the, you know, when he died, you know, and they find that he have 18 pounds of fez in the colon, accumulated in the colon.
Yes.
That's a lot.
Yes, and we're talking feces, folks. Yes. Yes, absolutely.
What do you say?
Yes. Feces, yes. Yeah, we say feces yes, stool. I've heard, actually there was one pathologist that said, you know, he had opened a man up for autopsy, and he saw at least 20-30 years worth of backed up feces. And this is horrible, and no wonder the man probably died. So it's the foods we eat, and of course the water, some of the water we drink, and the air can actually help or deter us from having normal bowel movements. So what can we do about that? What literally causes it? I mean, if is it just food, or is it just non-exercise, bad habits? What is absolutely causing this? Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. You know that man, the humankind today, doesn't live the normal, natural life that it should be. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
We are in a modern society, but we are living far from the nature. And for instance, we have a genetic that is exactly the same that it was 100,000 years ago. Our genetic, you know, it changed only maybe 0.05% the genetic, which means that we are still using our body only with natural food, but we don't eat natural food, you know. In 1900, the mankind was eating about 75 or even more percent of natural food. Now today, we may eat 75% of industrial food. See the difference?
Yes.
See? And also, So food is one of the things important because first, I told you about the intestine, the microbiomes. So you have to keep the balance between the good and the bad bacteria. That's very important.
Yes.
You need fiber also to have the movement in the colon. But most people today, first is the food. They eat industrial food. So they eat, you know, if you go see in the restaurant everywhere, the people eat hamburger and meat and cheese and rice and potatoes, and they eat no salad, no vegetable. So there is a deficiency, you know, in fibers, in vitamins,
yes,
in minerals. And then they eat a lot of fried food, denatured food. So, and then they don't drink enough. They drink very bad water. And of course, like you say, you know, exercise is very important because we have muscles. You know, the colon is also muscles. So you have to activate the muscles, you know. So this not only food. Food is important. Water is important, like I explained in my book, you know. And you need water. Otherwise, if you don't have enough water, you cannot form it, the phase, solid phase in the colon if you don't drink water. And then you have enough fiber and then whole food. And that's a problem, you know, because today with the modern life, and problem is worse for the women today. Because most women, now they are used to eat junk food in the restaurant, so they cannot expect to have a very good colon. So we have to do something about it. See, we have to try to change, have a better food, eat more vegetables, more fruit, and more fibers. More fibers.
Yes, absolutely. And drink more water. Inside. Yes. Yes.
More water. You know?
Drink,
and it has to be the spring. You say in English, spring water. That's something very important, you see. So we still have to educate people. People need education because they don't have any more education, you know. Before people, you know, because we have the grandmother and the grandfather, and the grandmother used to know what it was good for us. And now we don't have anybody. People, they don't have anybody.
Right.
You know, they go to the medical doctor and then, what destroyed the intestine? You know, what destroyed the intestine? The antibiotic. You know, when the baby are born, immediately they have fever, some problem, antibiotic. So you destroy the intestine. And so when they are adults, you know, the intestine doesn't work anymore, and that's it. And then even the adults, they continue to take antibiotic, which I am talking a lot in my book, because it's a big problem we have today with antibiotic, you know. Two countries are the champion to use antibiotic is the U.S. and imagine the other is Portugal. Portugal, small country, but the people use a lot of antibiotics. So you destroy your microflora. And if you destroy your microflora, then you will have a problem with intestine expulsion movement. You see, that's one other problem. And if you destroy the good bacteria, you are going to create also resistant bacteria that penetrate in the blood. And then you can see them. You know, when I'm doing the live blood analysis, I can see intestinal bacteria circulating in the blood. See, that's, before they didn't believe it, you know, about this theory that intestinal bacteria can circulate in the blood. But now with the theory of the microbiota and the colon as a second brain, they say that intestinal bacteria is the cause of many diseases and nervous diseases. You see, because the bacteria will produce some toxin, some neurotoxin that will, damage the nervous system, you know, the neuron of the brain, and that cause brain disease or nervous disease. But if you have a very good colon, which is difficult today, you know, with this kind of life, but you can change, you know, you can adapt, you can try to eat better food, drink water, do some exercise. You know, that's very important also.
Right.
You see, you can
right.
you can
absolutely.
Improve it.
Yes.
Yeah. During
absolutely.
Yeah, I have managed to change many people here in Portugal, change their life, change their food. You see, so the book, my book is central. You know, if you want to learn about detox, you want to learn about the colon, and as I say, I have 1 week. I think in the book, I have 1 week program that you can do yourself at home, and I give the list of supplementation. And I think I explain about two important supplementation to detoxify the body and to regenerate the body, which the first one is the chlorella, which is available in the state. You know what is chlorella, Sue, yeah? Yeah. You know
oh,
what?
Yes.
Yeah, you know.
And, yes.
And the second is the enzyme cells. Okay? So...
Yes.
Basically, the chlorella is like your bones. I mean, enzyme cells is the cells also from yeast, and the chlorella also as a cells, you know, with the mitochondria.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
They contain bones, everything that your body needs. It supply your body with all the vitamin, minerals, enzyme, DNA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you not only detoxify your body, but you are going to regenerate your body. You're going to activate what we call the mitochondria function. So you have more energy
yes.
in the life, you know. Okay.
Yes.
So when
absolutely.
I start, when I start working in Portugal, you know, about let's say 1972, I start immediately with enzyme cells. And it stayed like the bedrock of my method to treat people. And I wrote,
mm-hmm.
in fact, some article in Thomson Leather magazine, article about the mitochondria and cancer, where I speak a lot about what you can expect using enzyme cells to regenerate the mitochondria. I mean,
mm-hmm.
anything you want to change in the body, you want to treat a disease, the first thing you have to do also is to activate the mitochondria to have more energy. If you have more energy, the body will detoxify better.
Absolutely, yes.
And one other thing is important, you know, if you eat too much food, your body doesn't have time, you know, to... recuperate, to detoxify, and so we have a process that probably you hear about that called autophagy. Autophagy is mean the own cell can destroy damage and then regenerate by itself. See, autophagy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you eat too much food, you know the body doesn't have time, you know, to balance all the system. You see, so we have today we are talking about mini fasting. You know, we are talking about fasting. You know what is fasting? You know, you can stay 20
yes.
days. You know, with
yes.
eating. Okay, we do that in Europe, in Germany, in Russia. You know, they have clinic for fasting. But mini fasting is mean that you are going to have a dinner at let's say 7:30 p.m. But your breakfast will be the next day only at 11 a.m. See, so
mm-hmm.
you stay about 15 hours without food.
Mm-hmm.
See,
right.
And so the body can, the autophagy can be activated and the body can regenerate himself, you know.
Absolutely.
That's it. And
right.
the problem is that the people, it's not a problem that people are not eating enough food. The problem is they are eating too much food. That's the problem.
Yes.
So, you know, people does not realize how is the quantity of energy the body needs to digest the food. You know, when you eat a big meat with rice or French fried and cake, you know, a lot of energy
mm-hmm.
is spent by the body. Okay?
Yes.
So, if we eat less, we are not going to intoxicate less our body. You know,
mm-hmm.
more or less, you know, right. you have some intoxication, you know, some toxin in the body, but you can sometime, you know, do some mini fasting, or you drink vegetable juice, like I explained in the book, you know. I have a recipe in the book for cocktail juice. I have a recipe for soup, health soup that detox. And it's why also, mm-hmm. You know, I delayed to make the book because I want to include more things. So when you have this book, you have everything you need to understand and to detox your body and to feel better and to overcome your disease. Okay.
That's important.
Absolutely. And then yes. You can do at home, you know, you can do the colema. You know what is colema? Colema is between enema and colon therapy. Okay?
Yes.
And you can do at home. You can do at home, you know, like once a week or things like that, you know. I imagine that when I went to Dr. Jensen's sanatorium, it was 1972, 73. That I learned about the colon therapy. Look at that, for so many years, you know. But people didn't know too much about that. Because it's, of course, some people doesn't like too much, you know, to do some colon therapy. But I think in the state, you have about 15,000 centers for colon therapy. That's a lot.
Right.
So
yeah.
I think it's very popular in the state. The colon therapy.
Right.
Okay.
It is.
So, it's, let me see. And then, what is important? If you look like me, you know, the blood of people, when they are intoxicated, you see so many toxins, so many bacteria, so much oxidized lipid in the blood. You see, and every crystal, because the kidney also. Sometimes, you know, over time, they don't expulse, they don't detoxify the kidney. Now, if you detoxify
right.
the body, you will see a major difference in your blood after that, if you look it. And I think in my book, I have many examples. I have some examples of blood before and after. That's amazing. And I don't understand why medical doctor doesn't see interest and does not understand about that, because if you see before the blood, how is the blood, and you see after, well, that is a fact, you know. If you see a lot of intestinal bacteria and toxin, and then people detoxify, they do the colon therapy, and then you will see after a few weeks, the blood is much better, it's clean. So people feel much better, much stronger. So that's something very interesting what we do. You cannot talk only about taking drug and keep eating the same food. You understand? Yeah?
Right, exactly.
Are
yes.
you weird?
And some these pharmaceuticals are actually tending to not further our health as well. And doctors, you know, we see them, they all have specialities. You know, the one will go, oh, I'm a heart doctor, I'm a lung doctor, I'm a this. And nobody seems to connect the dots like you do.
Well, you are talking, do you mean that people go to a certain specialist for the disease, is what you mean?
Yes.
Is what you mean? The people go for a neurologist or psychiatre or a cardiologist?
They do.
Yes.
You know, one doctor will send them to another specialist just to concentrate
okay.
on that instead of tying
okay.
the entire body together. Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. That was one thing, you know, that for me, that was, not only for me, but we call a little bit the disaster. You know, because they start to cut the body, like I say in my book, interesting, you know, they start to cut the body in pieces, you know.
Yes.
And it's not possible, because if you look at, now today the science is explained it, that everything is connected. For instance, I just studied a document coming from Japan about the human cells we call natural killer cells. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for me, you know, it's clear for years, you know, that the body is connected with the nervous system.
Yes.
And then when you have cancer, and especially women, you know, they have something. It's not only constipation the problem with the breast cancer. It's also the nervous system. You see?
Yes.
I have seen some very bad cases because people, you know, the women, they are so emotive, they have so bad nerves that they will not recuperate from their cancer. Okay, now, they cut the body in pieces, you know. So they make a cardiologist, they make neurologist, and so on and so on. See, so they don't understand much, you know. They just know about the heart, they just know about the brain or the nervous system or the stomach and the allergy or the skin. You know, you see a dermatologist because you have
yes.
a skin problem, and then he will give you the ointment, you know, and antibiotic, things like that, you know. In fact, for me,
right.
the worst specialty in medicine is the dermatologist, you know. He knows nothing about the body, but absolutely nothing, okay? So, medical doctors, you know, today are different, you know. Before, in Europe, you know, we used to have very good, we call family doctor, you know, they will know about everything. They will give you suggest some diet, things like that, you know. And then after the time has changed, you know, and they become like a computer, you know, like a computer. They know nothing, you know. They don't do any test themselves. They will send to make a test, and they will give you medication. And they don't know.
Right.
They don't know. Okay. Mm-hmm. You go see a cardiologist. You go see a neurologist. You go see a psychiatre. And what was the problem? And that I remember, you know, many years ago. Of course, they don't know why you have a disease. They don't know because you know that the medical system study only the symptom. So why I have the disease?
Mm-hmm.
So they don't understand. So anything that they didn't understand, they send you to a psychiatrist, doctor.
Yes.
You know when I was meeting Dr. Jensen, before I meet Dr. Jensen, I have a problem with my nerve because I told you, you know, it was big stress for me, you know, changing my life like that. So I go see a medical doctor and he told me, okay, now you go see a neurologist, you know, and then they have made some tests and they say, well, everything is fine. We don't find anything. You should see a psychiatric doctor. And I told them, I'm not crazy. I'm not going to see psychiatric doctor, you know. And that's the problem today. You know, that's still even worse today. So you cannot cut the body in piece, in compartments, you know. That's the whole body.
Right.
We are all connected,
right.
you know. And I told you now,
right.
oh, yeah, okay. Now I'm coming back to this document about the natural killer cells. They were talking, the document is talking about the cancer and the natural killer cells. Now the researcher is claim in this document, and he show with fact that the nervous system is connected directly or indirectly with natural killer cells. It means with our immune system, and everything is connected with our immune system. You cannot separate the stomach from the, for instance, from the nervous system. You cannot separate the heart or the liver from the nervous system.
Right.
So, what I learned, you know, in the beginning with Dr. Jensen, and then when you look in the eyes of people, you see, our radiology, there is three things very important: is the colon first, the nervous system, and the liver. And then if you know how to treat the three, then you recover from any disease. Of course, people have symptoms, they have heart disease. Okay, you can do something, you know, but you have to treat the whole body in the same time. It's the same for cancer or any disease. Because tell me one thing, give me a name of a disease that the medical, the medicine, the conventional medicine cure. Give me a name. You cannot give me a name. No, disease is cured by the system.
Yes.
But they claim they are the only one to cure disease. But they don't cure disease, you know. They just keep your disease all your life, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
So, right.
But if you treat the whole body, you regenerate the body. Today, for instance, mitochondria, everybody know about mitochondria today. When I start, you know, many years ago with mitochondria, nobody knew about mitochondria, not even the naturopath. See? So we understand today that we need cellular energy to live. Otherwise, we died if we don't have the cellular
right.
energy. So you detoxify your body and you activate the cellular energy with the mitochondria, and you will see the difference. In fact, in my book, I think there is a very fantastic case with this young woman with the mitochondrial disease, you know. I forget
right.
which page it is at the end of the
mm-hmm.
of the book. Mela,
mm-hmm.
you know, you see the case. I think you have seen the case, Mela. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
That's a fatal disease, uh-huh. a fatal disease for people, you know. But I managed
uh-huh.
to recuperate, you know, by activating the mitochondria. So the whole body, it's been to detoxify your body, to have the best food possible, and then to activate the energy in your body. We call the ATP energy. And that's
uh-huh.
the way you should treat the disease. But today, you know, it's getting very, very bad. Today, it's more medication, and that's it. I don't know what's going on in your country, but here it's a big problem. Medical doctors...
Oh,
What you say?
It's a big problem everywhere. Yes.
Yeah. Anybody can be a medical doctor, you know. You will forgive me what I say, but any stupid in the street can be a medical doctor. But that doesn't mean that he know how to treat the body. If you have a brain, if you have a memory, you can learn, you can pass your examination and you are a medical doctor. But you know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So when the patient is coming, you just give a prescription and that's it. And then if you don't understand, you send him to a specialist. And that's the problem
mm-hmm.
today, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But in one other end, there is more and more people are coming more and more for the natural way of living, of eating food. We have to see also the good parts, you know. We are talking about the
mm-hmm.
bad part, but I have seen, because I'm living in a small country, so I can see the people... how they are anxious to change, and when they come to see me, how they want to change their life, their diet, because the people are
mm-hmm.
sick to be sick. I hear that
mm-hmm.
50 years ago, that people are sick to be sick, but it's still
yes.
it's still true today. You see, but
mm-hmm.
so many people are dependent of hospital. That's one of the problems. Many, many, many people, you know, they will prefer to go to the hospital instead of be educated. But this is the main reason of why I have spent 3 years on this book. First is to educate
mm-hmm.
people. Second, educate the naturopath, because I think this book is a real basis for the young doctor, for the young naturopath who want to understand the real system that I explain, in fact, in my book, the naturopathic system. Okay,
yes.
and I think
yes.
I have a very good color figure in the book that show the detoxification, how it's working in the body. I forget
mm-hmm.
which page, but the people can find it. And that's the basis to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And why not a medical doctor? They can do something different. But I think that in U.S., many, many doctors are changing. You know, we have your country is very, very big, you know, but
mm-hmm.
there's many things going on, if I understand, you know. Now, one thing I forgot, you know, when you asked me about constipation and about the food.
Mm-hmm.
One thing is very bad for the colon is the excess of brain meat. Excess of brain
mm-hmm.
meat, you know,
yes.
which
I'm
giving a... very important. I am speaking about in the book in the chapter of colon cancer of the colon. But if you eat red meat excess and cooked. The problem is cooked meat, you know, it produces very, very toxic substance in the colon. Very toxic substance, mm-hmm. you know. And that's, mm-hmm. that's one of the main reasons of the cancer of the colon, you see. You don't see cancer of the, in the colon in people, vegetarian people. You
right.
know, and yeah, even in Japan, you can see the people, they eat meat like us, you know,
fish.
They eat the tofu and soja, but not red meat. And we have, U.S. is a big country of meat eater. And also,
right.
the problem is there's a lot of hormones in the meat, I think, in your country.
Yes.
That's one of the problems.
Yes.
You see?
And
so,
antibiotics.
So that's,
yes.
Yeah, and antibiotics,
yes.
again, lately it came, some interesting article online about the antibiotic they use for animals.
Yes.
The article is focusing only animals. And a great, great percentage, I don't have here, it's too bad, but a great, great percentage of antibiotic in your country is used for cattle, not for the humans,
yes.
for cattle. And
right.
what is tragic, and then that we find antibiotic in the vegetable.
Yes.
Because you find the antibiotic they go in the phase of the cattle, then they go to the
right.
soil, and
yes.
the soil, it go to the vegetable. So vegetable
right.
doesn't have only insecticide, pesticide, but also antibiotic.
Yes,
so,
absolutely. Yes.
What are we going to eat? You know, that's my patient told me. You know,
yeah.
they say every way we turn, it's industrial, it's toxic. Okay,
yes.
now you can do for, yes. You can go for organic food. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Organic
yes.
food. I think you have a lot of association and a way in the state where you can buy organic food. I think so. That's
yes.
what is
yes,
one possibility. You know, I am a member of one, I forget the name, a foundation that speak about organic food, and they give the chapter, you know, where you can buy here. I have it. Let me see it. If you know about the Weston A. Price Foundation, do you know about?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Weston Price,
yeah.
yes. Everybody knows about him. Yes.
It's very interesting what they do, you know. So,
yes.
I will suggest, you know, to the people, you know, of course, sometimes it's difficult, but suggest to the people first to eat more vegetable and fruit, but to buy organic food. Otherwise,
mm-hmm.
they are
yes.
hyper intoxicated, you know. Okay.
Absolutely.
But,
absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about the number one treatment most everywhere for cancer, and it is toxic, the chemotherapy and the radiation, because a lot of people are still doing this.
Oh yeah. Okay. That's a very good question, you know, because, and it's a big problem because people are tight, you know, they are afraid not to do chemo, you know, and radiation, you know, they don't know the problem, you know. This naturopath who sent me the email yesterday with the breast cancer, she has done the surgery, but she has refused the chemo and radiation. And then the medical doctor are very mad with her, but she's going on the diet and things like that, and she's okay. Now, let's talk about chemotherapy and radiation, which is, you know, for medical doctor, you have to use something very toxic to destroy the tumor, the cancer, we call it, okay? So they don't know any other way, okay? Now, we know that the chemotherapy, which is, I tell you, why don't you do a chemotherapy to someone healthy to see what's happening? Huh? You will see what's happening. Huh? You get a cancer because chemotherapy and radiotherapy is cancerogen itself. It's cancerogen. Okay. Now,
yes.
if you don't have any problem, you know, if you don't have any metastasis, you may have a result with the chemotherapy, you know. And that's why I asked people how the chemotherapy is working. Can you tell me how it's working? You know, the people doesn't know, you know, because chemotherapy does not destroy directly a cell. Before, we thought that chemotherapy destroys a cell by itself, you know. But no, the chemotherapy will stop what we call the cellular cycle and activate apoptosis. That's the way.
Yes.
But often, the apoptosis doesn't work. I explain in my book, you know, there is a gene that called P53 that activates the death of cells, any abnormal cells or cancer cells.
Yes.
Then we have what we call the resistance of cancer cells. You know, after a while, you know, the cancer cells become resistant, and then you do chemotherapy, and then you only harm your body, but you don't kill the cancer cells. And this is why they are doing sometimes a first line of chemo doesn't work, they make a second line doesn't work, they make third line doesn't work, and until there is nothing more that can be done. All right? So you have to watch when you do chemotherapy first. If you have a cancer with metastase, well, the chemotherapy is little effective for that. You know, it's effective on the solid tumor, primary tumor, but not on metastase. So, we know the chemotherapy will damage the liver, the colon, the nervous system, the kidney. You know, I have a movie actor, a young woman here of 41 years. She died suddenly, you know, from chemotherapy. She has, we don't know exactly, but she died like that, you know. That was the consequence. Mm-hmm. Of chemotherapy. So that's difficult, you know, because you have to have evaluation of the disease, of the state of the patient, you know, before you can give advice. But if you have done once chemotherapy and radiation, it's not good to do a second time or third time, because your body is getting weaker. Each time you do chemotherapy, the body is weaker. The body is damaged, you know. So, people doesn't realize that chemotherapy may destroy a cancer cell, but also it will harm your body. You understand? So you died often of the consequence of the chemotherapy, not of the disease. You see?
Yes.
So
yes.
I think we have to be careful, you know. Now, if we do it, you know, if we do a chemotherapy, you have to do also with a complementary treatment in the same time. In the same time.
Absolutely.
You know? Take some supplementation, take some vitamins, you activate the immune system. Okay, the immune system of cancer patient is very low compared to a normal healthy person. It functions from 10% to 30% maximum, instead of healthy person to 70-80%. But if you do chemotherapy, the immune system is even worse. It's going down. And then we know cancer, there is two things important in cancer. It's the apoptosis and the immune system. So you have to activate the immune system. If you activate the immune system when you are doing chemotherapy, if you activate the apoptosis, if you protect yourself, then you may have some excellent results. But if you don't do chemotherapy, you know, you can have a surgery, but sometimes you don't need to do chemotherapy. But people are afraid not to do chemotherapy. That's a big problem. But many times, yesterday, I have a case of a middle-aged woman. I say middle-aged because I know her for 15 years. She's fighting for breast cancer, and the day before yesterday, she called me because she has a third recurrence, But I told her last time, don't do radiation, otherwise you get worse. But they are afraid. So she has done the radiation, and it's happened exactly what I told her. Now she has metastasis in the ganglion, in the bone, and in the liver.
Yes.
After doing radiation, But I get mad yesterday. I told you not to do radiation, but people are afraid. But you can do it. You don't need always to do radiation. But you have to have the right doctor, you know, near you to tell you what to do. You know, I'm speaking like that, you know, on the radio. But by yourself, you cannot choose. You know. But still,
right.
I have some patients by themselves. They say, okay, we don't want to do. I will not do radiation or chemotherapy, and they're okay, because sometimes, you know, it's worse doing chemotherapy than not doing chemotherapy. You see?
Right.
But
exactly.
This is only, you know, it's to someone to decide. Each one has to decide. But it's not very safe, you know. Chemotherapy and radiotherapy is not very safe, you know. It's very toxic method because, you know, it starts. This chemotherapy during the war, you know, when they find out about the gas, mustard, the German they use, you know, in their bomber, you know, that kill cells. So they say, okay, if it kills cells, we are going to use against cancer cells. And that's it.
Right.
And they still doing the chemotherapy. Okay, it's a little bit better today. They have made some progress. But if you have a cancer with metastasis, you know, don't expect the chemotherapy to cure you. Don't expect it.
Right.
Because it makes worse, you know. One of the problems with the chemotherapy is that, okay, in the tumor, you don't have the same cancer cells. Some are apoptotic cancer cells, which means they died very quickly. Other one, they are more resistant. They will not die.
Yes.
And other one will accumulate more mutation. And then they become very resistant. And today, we know that after 6 months, you know, chemotherapy is not efficient anymore after 6 months because you have too many resistant cancer cells. You see?
Yes.
And then you even may have what we call very, very, very resistant. I don't know the word in English. It's I forget. But it's very resistant cancer cells. And so you have to find some other way to treat or to kill the cancer cells. For instance, curcuma. You know about curcuma?
Oh yes, yes.
Curcuma.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Curcuma.
It's
very
interesting because the curcuma. If you take curcuma. Oh yeah, okay. The word I have the word. I'm sorry. I was talking about cancer stem cells.
Cancer
stem cells. Yes. You know? Yeah.
Yes.
So if you have cancer stem cells, that's very, very difficult, you know, and chemotherapy cannot do. But the curcuma can destroy stem cells, cancer stem cells. And the curcuma can, in the same time, you know, curcuma can activate all the mechanisms, most of the mechanisms of cancer, which means the apoptosis, the immune system, the inflammation, and it's working very well for cancer. So if you do chemotherapy, people, they can hear what I say. They can, if they have to do chemotherapy, they can take something like curcuma and something else to stimulate the immune system, and they will have a much better result. But for that, you know, you have to have a doctor near you that is doing a live blood analysis. So you see the situation of the blood, and you have to do a oxidative stress test to see the, you know, the level of inflammation of oxidative stress that can occur during the chemotherapy. Because if you have major inflammation during the chemotherapy, that's very bad for the patient. You see?
Right.
So that's
but
something I'm doing, you know.
Right, but they won't allow live blood analysis in doctors' offices here. They
not
absolutely
anymore,
forbid. Yeah, not anymore, not for a very long time. I do have a question. How is it we can detect cancer before it gets to stage 2, 3, and 4? There's got to be some markers and things like that, too. I know you're an expert on that, if you would talk about that.
Yeah, okay, well, I know that's the question, you know. I have answered somewhere. Let me see. Just 1 minute, Sue. that
yes.
I remember that you sent me some question, you know, about that, and
yes,
I start to answer because it's not so easy, you know, to answer that, but it's okay. It's okay. I have a paper somewhere, but it's okay. Now, let me see. That's a big problem because practically, you know, medical doctor, the medicine, you know, doesn't have anything, any test, you know, to find out if you have a cancer, you know. Now,
mm-hmm.
We cannot always rely, you know, on iridology because it's not something scientific, you know. But still, you know, I'm talking about with 50 years of experience, you know, many times you can see, you know, the risk of cancer in the iris. And I still
yes.
Find today in people the risk of cancer. But that's sometimes it's not on life, you know. So what I am doing myself, you know, is the we call the molecular marker. And in fact, this
yes.
is maybe the future, you know, what they are talking. There is many, many molecular markers in the body.
Uh-huh.
This can tell you if you have a risk or you have cancer. So you have in the body, you have some gene that are the gene of apoptose, you know, the P53, you know, and you have the gene of resistance and some gene we call one gene we call survivant. It's a very bad gene that is activated only when you have cancer. So if you do a test like that, you know, and we know today, the science explains, if you have a P53 mutation, then you are on the way to have a cancer. Then you are on the
mm-hmm.
way to have cancer. You see?
Mm-hmm.
But you have to find a laboratory that do it, you know. When I start to do this kind of test over 10 years ago, no, it will be, I don't know, 12 or 13 years, you know. And I have a lady that has several member of the family with cancer, so she asked to make the test, you know, and the test
mm-hmm.
find out that she has already a cancer, you know. So that's very interesting because otherwise, you know, what I want to warn the women, you know, they go for screening, you know, they go for screening,
yes.
mammography and things like that, you know, for breast cancer, but he will say only, you don't have anything, you have a cancer. And that's not
mm-hmm.
not enough. You know, you have to have something
mm-hmm.
else. You have to have some test, you know. And
yes.
I think the molecular marker is the answer. Also, of course, this is, like I say, well, okay, I can look in the blood, but it's not allowed in the state anymore, you know. The blood,
right.
You can see in the blood if people have a great risk of cancer. But basically, if you want to know... from a scientific standpoint, if you have cancer, you have to do the test of the molecular marker. That can tell you
mm-hmm.
that you are in risk of cancer, you have a pro-cancer
mm-hmm.
activity, or you have already a cancer. Okay?
Right. Exactly. And not a lot of doctors actually either know about this or use this marker. And why
okay,
is that?
Okay. Now, in one side you have the science, and then the other side you have the medicine. You see, and
yes.
the medicine is functioning from what they learn in the university. You know, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that doesn't go in the university. Now they are talking because I have keep. You know, I was obliged to make a lot of study about the P53, and then you see. Now, today we know that the P53 is not only a biomarker for cancer, it's not only
mm-hmm.
A test that can let me see, it's a biomarker for cancer, but it's a test that can follow your treatment, follow up your treatment, because it depends on the activity of the P53, if the,
mm-hmm.
for instance, the chemotherapy is functioning. You see, and but the P53 is considered if you have a P53 mutation, you know, and you reactivate the normal function, is considered as an anti-cancer treatment. Can you imagine
right.
it? It means that your own body is destroying the cancer cells, you know, like the, let's say, the
correct.
Immune system, you know, is destroying cancer
yes.
cells, you know. So, if you have, today we have over 100,000 papers about the P53, but doesn't mean that they are going to adopt, you know, between the theory and the practical, clinical practice, you know, there is a big wall between the two. You see, and
yes.
you know that medical doctor will send it, the patient somewhere else to do the test. They don't do themselves the test, you know. And
right.
to enter something new, you know, is a big problem. We know that, you know.
Yes.
In fact, it's tragic because everywhere I learn, you know, they are talking about the P53 as the key to cancer. But what's going on with the medicine? Why they don't accept it? I mean, they cannot deny it because that's the way cells died through the P53, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is even today some congress of P53 mutation. I have been to the congress, so you see there is a lot of theory, but coming to practice, you know. Probably I am one of the few of the rare, you know, that doing practical with the P53 in my clinic. You understand?
Right.
Most
exactly.
of the patients,
yes.
I said, I'm doing the test, you know. And what is important, what is interesting, in that you can see, you can follow, you know, the treatment. It's why you have results.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the patient is in is not cure, but it's in remission. If you do the test, you will see if it's under recurrency. Now,
right.
When you have cancer remission, what you do it? Well, they will call you in the hospital every 3 months or 6 months and say, okay, you okay? You know, the tests are normal. And then next time you go, oh, you have a recurrency. It's what's happening with this young woman I told you yesterday. You know, she wants to do a scan, you know, in the pit, and they say, oh, you have a new metastasis, you know. But this particular patient, she didn't want to do the test. I don't know why. And I told her yesterday, you see, you should have done the test to avoid this situation, because you can see actually the patient are under cancer recurrence. So you are going to do before they have to go to chemotherapy. You can treat before that, you see.
Right.
But maybe in the future, you know. Today we have too much, you see, too much money is involved, you know. Too much interest is involved, you know. So
right.
if you do the molecular marker, then you are going to cut about chemotherapy, about cancer recurrence. You know,
you're going to make the pharmaceuticals unhappy. The pharmaceutical companies
will not be happy.
No,
yeah,
won't.
That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So it's why, you know,
yes.
in one way, you know, I'm learning a lot, you know, about what's going on now, discovery on new fact about the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
No, they say they say everywhere. No, I don't know if you see on some news. They say the medicine, the oncology was never so close to cure cancer. Can you imagine?
Right.
And now they say a new revolutionary treatment. Do you think
yes.
what is the new revolutionary treatment? The immune system. So the immune
yes.
system. Nothing new. Nothing new,
yeah.
you see, but they still, they're, for the first time, because the chemotherapy is a failure, now they say, now we have maybe we have to try the human system, you see.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know, this is only theory. Now the same with the P53 or any test that can avoid, you know, that can prevent, you know, from cancer
yes.
recurrence. That's the main thing,
yes.
you know. Do you know that 70% of women with breast cancer have a tumor recurrence, no matter what they do, in the first 3 years? So that's too much, you see?
Mm-hmm.
But people still believe, the women, they still believe too much in hospital screening, you know? That's not enough, you know?
Right.
Because what you do in the hospital will say, okay, you have nothing, or next day, okay, you have a new cancer, then go back to chemotherapy. Then this is one thing we have to avoid. This is what I am doing with the test. You know, people,
right.
I have a man with he has bladder cancer. Bladder cancer and prostate cancer. It was 5 years ago.
Yes.
And he has a remission 5 years ago, and you know, it's very bad. Bladder cancer is very bad prognostic. But every 3 months, he's doing the molecular marker test. And sometimes you see that he's under great risk of recurrence. So we treat, and that's it. And he's going fine. Now, the last test of him, I received yesterday. And again, he has some problem of recurrence, again. See, if you hear about the BCL2, the BCL2, that's the gene of resistance, is very high, very high. So, again, I have to do some kind of treatment. If the man is under stress, is working too much. If you work too much, you may have a cancer recurrence if you have too much stress. See?
Absolutely.
But... So that's very important, but in the state you don't have much choice. You know, you cannot do the live blood analysis. You don't have this kind of molecular marker. But the people can. I don't know if they. You know, they can. I'm doing here. I have a laboratory. They can send me. You know, you can send the blood and we can do the test. You know, that's not. So it's not a big deal.
That's awesome. Yes, that's awesome.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be phenomenal. Yes.
Yeah, because, you know, today you can send your blood anywhere in the world. You know, it's very easy to send today. I have a patient in many countries that they send me their blood. You know, now I have a patient in Abu the Emirates Arabs, Emirates in the Middle East, you know, Middle East, send me the blood by plane.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no big deal. We can do it, you know. But I am surprised, you know, because the live blood analysis, you know, it started with my friend Bob Bradford in the U.S. and he developed this wonderful microscope. And now it's not it's not allowed anymore. I didn't know that about that. So it cut you from a big possibility, you know, to look the blood of patient, because it's very important to see how is the blood, how is the red cells. You know, this kind of observation tell you about your what kind of nutrition you have. If you have bad food, good food, you know, that's quite interesting, you know. And so my book is illustrated with the live blood analysis, you know. But I can see that in your country it will not serve the people for that.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
It's too, it's
yeah,
too,
there are a few RNs that do. Yeah, a few RNs use it, but it's not allowed in the doctor's office. I wanted to make sure everyone knows where to get this book. This is an awesome, awesome book. It's called Health and Disease Begin in the Colon, and that is true. After reading this book, my second time through this book, you learn something new each and every time that you walk through this book. And this is for the layman or the healthcare professional. Either one can understand this book. But it says in the bottom, it says new trends in cancer diagnostics and early detection. That's important. That's extremely important. If you choose not to do chemo and radiation, there are alternatives to use. And this book will get you started. And also about detoxing. It's a step-by-step to take care of yourself. And it is fabulous, absolutely fabulous. And the artwork, I don't know who you got as your graphic artist, but they're wonderful. Absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
Yes. And you've got color photographs, and there's over 100 figures in the book. With pictures and words, and you've got cases in here, for especially for healthcare professionals, cases that walk you through. And you're even so generous as to suggest what we should be using. And it's fabulous. Absolutely. I thank you so much for writing this book. I know it was a labor of love after 3 years, but it finally made it to print, and I am absolutely ecstatic about this book. Yes.
Okay.
And so,
okay,
so what? Yes, go ahead.
What? No, I see.
No, I'm waiting.
You want any more questions? I think you have said... You have just said the most important that I want to say, you know, about the
yes.
book, you know. I think, in fact, we forget, you know, many things in the book. I'm speaking about the pasteurized milk, about vaccination, about Monsanto, you know, about everything that harm our body. So the people
yes.
must know about that, so many things, you know. And
absolutely.
I think it's the basis for so many people, and even doctor, like I said, that this book, I think, is a central, very important if we want to change our life and be more healthy, because there is too many diseases on this planet. We have to do something about
yes.
it, you know. And this is my contribution, you know. This is 50 years of my life in this book. I hope it's
mm-hmm.
not be the last one. You know, I have to write
that.
No,
I'm sure it won't.
What?
I'm sure it won't. You have so much to teach us. Yes.
No,
you have so much to teach
about
us.
Cancer. Yeah. Okay.
Amen.
I think,
yes. Thank you so much, Dr. Serge. I will
okay.
talk to you soon.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone
thank you.
Out
we'll
there.
Okay.
Yes, we will
okay.
talk soon.
Bye.
I want
thank
to let
you.
Everyone
right.
out there know that we are going to have the Physicians Roundtable. I
oh.
want to make sure everyone
okay.
knows
oh.
about that. I'm sorry, I cut
the book
you off.
Also.
Yes.
Okay. All right. No, it's just to say the book is available in Amazon.
In Arizona. What?
Amazon. The book is available at Amazon.
Oh, Amazon. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to have that
right.
link.
Okay.
Yes. I'm going to have that link up for everyone so that you...
People can send me email if they want to speak to me, okay?
Absolutely. And you guys can always contact
yeah.
me, and I'll give you his email address. Thank you so much, Dr. Serge.
All right. Okay.
The number for me is 717-254-1953. I'll be happy to share that information with you. I want to let everyone know that we are having the 2017 Physicians Roundtable. It will be in Orlando June 2nd through 4th, and you can call that same number, 717-254-1953, if you'd like to get more information about either being an attendee or an exhibitor. We have a few exhibit tables left if you're interested, and you can give me a call. Thank you, everyone, for listening in today, and I hope that you've learned a lot, and happy holidays. Bye-bye.